When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We are back on the Pack-A-Day Radio Show, live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. Reminder, we got the Mason Crosby Show with Mitch Nellis coming up next from 9 to 11 right here on The Fan. Those guys kill it every single day. I don't know how Mitch does it. The level of energy and intensity, he's an absolute stud. We're going to have him on the show next week. That's going to be a fun. I'm looking.
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth Podcast.
You may get out of here with two sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Forward to talking with Mitch as our special guest next week, coming up I think on Thursday's show if I remember correctly. So looking forward to that with Mitch, but make sure to check out Mitch and Mason coming up 9 to 11 today. Right now, as we talk about special guests, we've got the one and only Ty Windisch of the Eurostep podcast. You can find him on Twitter at Ty Windisch, appropriately labeled. Ty, it's great to be talking some Milwaukee Bucks basketball with you. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great, Andy. Thank you for having me. After owning one for 2 years, I finally figured out how to get my snowblower fired up, and what a game changer. What a game changer. So I'm doing fantastic this morning.
It is a must-have in Wisconsin. It is literally a life-changing event when you get a snowblower. It's like a rite of passage in Wisconsin, and yes, game changer is the exact perfect way to put it. I don't know how you survive without one in these Wisconsin winters, but like I said, it's a must-have. I'm just hoping mine turns on later today when I go out to snowblow. So it's the first one of the year is always a little bit nervy of like, all right, is this thing going to work? But we're going to get there as soon as the show is done today. I'm going to listen to some Mitch and Mason in the background and be snowblowing in just a moment here. But before we get there, obviously, as you talk about game changers, winning the NBA Cup, they never did it in the history of the Milwaukee Bucks, Ty Windisch. They have finally accomplished their long-awaited feat of winning a NBA Cup, but in all seriousness, this is a cool event. They found a way to pick up the victory. It kind of, in a way, got their season back on track. It gave them something to be motivated for. What's your takeaway from, A, how much winning the NBA Cup means, both just in and of itself, in like actually having the cup, and then B, like just kind of what it means for the momentum of this team moving forward?
Yeah, I think it's really cool. I think it's something to enjoy and celebrate. I mean, Bucks fans, of course, who have been around for at least a few years now, remember 2021, and this isn't like winning an NBA championship. Of course, it's not on that level, but you look at the faces of the players and, you know, the guys who were there for that and won it, like Giannis, who sure seemed to enjoy this and the ceremony, but also someone like Damian Lillard, who, you know, has not been able to lift really any sort of a trophy in the NBA before. You know, Dame seemed to really enjoy it, and it seemed really special to him, and I think it should. I think it's an achievement. Again, it's not a playoff victory. It's not a NBA championship, but I do think it matters, and it's fun. And as for the team, I feel like this is something for the Bucks to kind of rally around, pull themselves together, and I think part of what I like about the Cup is it gives you opportunities to play against some of the teams that are the hottest in the league that season in big national TV games that you just know players tend to get up for more than the, you know, stereotypical Monday night in Charlotte on league pass. So I think someone like Andre Jackson Jr. being able to have a moment like he did in the Cup championship victory against Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, that could be something that for him individually is something that he can take and build on. But as a team, you know, it shows they can play winning basketball. They can go out there and really stifle a team in OKC that I think most pundits thought was clearly going to be favored and was, if not the best, second best team in the league. So I think the opportunity to go and play against a team like that and have a big win and a big game that everyone's excited for is only going to be great for the Bucks moving forward in terms of building something as this team this season ahead of that playoff grind, which is still months away.
On a scale from 1 to 10, how much of a Vegas hangover did the Thunder have shooting like one of a billion from three-point range in that game? Like, they have, I don't think I've ever seen the Thunder play like that. I don't know if that was just some Vegas stuff from the night before or just really good defense. I thought Milwaukee played really good defense in the game, so I'm not trying to take anything away from Milwaukee, but yeah. that was definitely an uncharacteristic game from the Thunder.
Yeah, that's the fun part about, the only fun part about having it in Vegas, because the crowd wasn't good, but being able to say, oh, Vegas flew every time somebody started missing shots was an enjoyable part. It sure could have been a factor. You know, that's a young team, but I think, you know, not below drinking age young, so that could certainly have played into things for OKC and for some of the Bucks as well, although Milwaukee had a much better shooting night. But yeah, I think the defensive performance from the whole team and just, anytime you force a team into shooting threes more than they want to, I do think they just tend to not fall as often. And I think OKC would have preferred to have Shai Gilgeous-Alexander taking more of these shots at the rim and these mid-rangers. But Milwaukee kind of pushed them out of their offensive comfort zone and got a little bit lucky on the threes. But I also think part of their game plan was, you know, we'll let Lou Dort and Kenrich Williams beat us. We don't want J-Dub and Shai beating us.
No, I think it was a great game plan. I think they defended really well. It was just funny to see them shoot so poorly and wonder just in the back of your mind of like, how much is this is Vegas and how much of this is good defense? But I did think there was good defense there too. One of the things that's been really fun to watch after it being a sort of weird, bizarro struggle last season is just the chemistry between Dame and Giannis. It's definitely picked up as of late. It looks, I think, the best that it's ever looked. Just your thoughts on how those two look together and what they're able to sort of now accomplish that. At least it feels like they're a little bit more on the same page.
Yeah, I put it on a Cavs show I was on yesterday saying I think, you know, year one, they knew where each other was going to be. They had figured that out. But I think now in year two, we're seeing when Dame and Giannis interact on, you know, whether it's the standard pick and roll, the dribble handoff where Dame is moving around Giannis to get freed up, or even just kind of Dame hovering out on the perimeter while Giannis is posting up with that open side post up with just Dame over there. Now I think they've figured out where each other really likes the ball and where they're going to go before they go there. You know, if you ever played catch with someone as a kid, like all the time, whether it was football or baseball, you kind of knew, okay, he's going to move this way. I'm going to put the ball right there. It's going to get to him perfectly. I think that's where Dame and Giannis are getting, where it's now not just, oh, I know he's going to be around here after he screens. Now it's, okay, he wants the ball, you know, kind of moving this way so then he can turn and dunk or whatever it may be. And you can just see it. And I think it's reps. I think it's getting to know each other better. It's going through things together. Dame has talked a lot about, you know, them being out in the playoffs was one of their realest moments together in terms of their relationship, because they really had just more honest conversations, because they kind of saw, you know, hey, we might not get many of these chances. We need to just be really upfront and brutally honest with each other. And I think it's really paid off. And I also think Doc Rivers is getting through to them in a way that Adrian Griffin didn't. And I think there's just a team sense of, I don't know if buy-in is the right word, but, you know, everyone's just working really hard, I think, toward the team good right now, offensively and defensively, and Dame and Giannis certainly part of that, moving the ball a lot, whether it's to each other or other players, and I think their offense is just very aesthetically pleasing right now, for the most part, for Milwaukee.
Yeah, it's been certainly much different, especially than it was earlier in the season, for sure. It's been really fun to watch. One of the huge parts of this is the return of Chris Middleton. We all know how important he is to this team. I know he didn't play, obviously, in that final NBA Cup game with an illness, but what have you seen out of the return of Chris Middleton so far? Is it giving you reason for optimism and confidence moving forward? Any concerns that you see, or just your overall just reaction to his first couple games back and what he can bring to this team moving forward?
Yeah, the 2 second scouting report on Chris, I think, is it looks like he's moving well to me, and, you know, moving well for Chris Middleton, right? You're not going to expect him to come back and look like Andre Jackson Jr. out there, but the shot isn't falling. And I would much rather take that than the opposite, because like Chris is a tough shot maker, doesn't need a lot of space to be open. And I think he has been able to get to his spots in these four games. He's just not knocking down shots. I think that is rust he is going to knock off. I would much rather have Chris, I think, physically and defensively look good and move well versus, you know, he's hitting shots, but only if he's really wide open and he's not able to keep up defensively. So I'm pretty optimistic. I think there's going to be a slump buster game for him pretty soon where, you know, he's way above 50% from the field, knocking down some threes. He still made a big positive impact on the Bucks with his ball movement. And, you know, talk about someone who knows where Giannis wants to be. Like, that's certainly Chris Middleton more than anyone else Giannis has ever played with. So it's going to be a tough test for him tonight if, as the injury report currently dictates, Chris goes and Dame doesn't against Cleveland. You know, they're going to need a lot from Chris Middleton to be able to beat this great Cavs team. But I think just in a general sense, I've been relatively optimistic. You know, you really want to see him have that shooting breakthrough game, but I just can't believe Chris Middleton has fully lost his touch. I just think he's knocking off that rust of getting back into game shape and everything else.
Yeah, I think so too. I think he's going to be more than fine. And I think just even getting him back another option for this Bucks team, who we've seen the depth improve as of late. And I want to talk about that in just a moment here. But getting somebody like Chris Middleton back in that rotation, just giving them another player that they can really trust and count on, I think that's going to come with time. And I'm really excited about the return of him as well. And I think it's such a key part of what they're going to need through the remainder of this season. We're talking with Ty Windisch of the Eurostep podcast. You can find him on Twitter at Ty Windisch. And speaking of that depth, to me, yes, the Dame and Giannis portion of this is really fun to watch, and their chemistry getting Chris Middleton back is huge. But for me, the play of really Andre Jackson Jr. and AJ Green especially, but Gary Trent I think to some extent too, especially with what he did in that final NBA Cup game. I mean, you're talking about this team really struggling at the wing and needing wings and everything, and like all of a sudden Andre Jackson Jr.'s playing and he's defending out of his mind. Gary Trent Jr. starting to hit more threes, he's defending pretty well. And then AJ Green, Dairy Bird, I absolutely love this. I mean, he's like the three that he made, obviously contested by Hartenstein in that NBA Cup game, and then just what he's like, his defense massively underrated. He's really defending well, shooting the ball well. Like, those three stepping up and becoming legitimately good players for this team, to me, has completely changed the course of the season for Milwaukee.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I think that's one of the big storylines from the year so far, is the rough start and some injuries slash vets underperforming leads Doc Rivers, which is, you know, the irony there, right? A coach who is infamous for never playing the young guys, all of a sudden is starting Andre Jackson Jr. and AJ Green is often leading the Bucks in minutes off the bench, two of the least experienced players, not on the roster. I mean, they've got rookies and stuff, but, you know, certainly of the rotational options, two of the least experienced guys on the team. And it's been a huge part of their turnaround. I mean, they've needed everything that those guys have contributed. They might even need more from them going forward. I think the way that Doc uses Ajax is really interesting to me. Like, starts and usually plays a full minutes load in the first half, but if things aren't going well in the second half, he may severely see those minutes cut, just because offensively it is still touch and go, right? And I think he is filling the spots better. He's taking the shots he has to take. When you're open, when you're an open shoot on an offense with Dame and Giannis and you pass up the look, it's really hard to keep you out there offensively, even if you're not a great shooter, because it kind of just wastes the possession. And possessions with those two guys are just too valuable. So I think Ajax has made strides in less of the deer in headlights, so to speak, record scratch moments where he kind of dribbles into traffic versus taking the open three, but, you know, wasn't able to knock down any against OKC, and then still gets all the minutes cut, but adds so much defensively and with his athleticism that I think he's going to remain in that starting spot even when Middleton is back starting. And then AJ Green, just one of their best two-way players total. The way he is such a tough shot maker is incredible. The way he, a guy who does not get fazed by slumps, right? He'll be 0-for-5, and Doc will leave him in, and he'll knock down two fourth-quarter threes like it's nothing. I think that is a really admirable trait of his, and I agree, defensively, he has held up very well. I think Ajax is better. I think AJ Green is right up there in terms of guard defenders on this Milwaukee Bucks team. He's got to work on the fouling, but also a great step forward for him and Ajax against OKC. They both combined to only let Shai Gilgeous-Alexander take four free throws. And Gary Trent Jr. was a part of that as well. I think he was overtaxed as the starting lockdown defender, his first role on the team. Now as kind of more of that bench scorer slash the closing defender who takes some shifts on these guys versus starting on an SGA or a player like that, I think is a much better role for him. And you know, the latter two really knocking down their threes is huge, too. Milwaukee needs to have that great offense with this Dame and Giannis core, and these role players knocking down these threes is a massive key to that.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And just, you know, going from Malik Beasley's having to be some of your lockdown defender minutes at times to now having multiple options that you can kind of throw at big-time players is such a huge, you know, just win for this Milwaukee team in general. Let me ask you, you know, the playoffs are always such a great indicator if somebody's going to be able to kind of stay in the rotation when it comes to specifically shooting. For, and maybe we got this answer somewhat in the NBA Cup against the Thunder in that final game, but do you think if Andre Jackson continues to shoot at the level he's shooting at right now, is that something that is going to get exposed more in the playoffs? Because we know like teams are just going to sag off of him and it's all of a sudden going to be basically 5-on-4 for everyone else. They're going to dare him to shoot the ball. Is that something that in the playoffs gets exposed more and they may have to take him out of the rotation if he can't shoot, or is the passing, defense, rebounding, and tangibles just too good where you're willing to live with some of that even if those shots aren't falling?
I would imagine he'll be in the rotation throughout, because you don't want to change your starters as a matchup thing if you don't have to. I think, I know some teams do. OKC did against the Bucks versus Houston, but I think generally you'd rather keep him in. I think Doc's going to give him chances every night just because he adds so much with all those things that you mentioned. But I do think, you know, we could see him having more of these like 8-minute games in a playoff series if, you know, there's either the shots aren't falling or there's the record scratch moments. One thing I would like to see as kind of a response for that, and we don't see it a lot in the rotation as it is now, I think he should play more minutes with just Dame out there versus Dame and Giannis, and then have him be more of the screener for Dame. Because then if you're not guarding someone and you're trying to guard a Dame pick and roll, or, you know, Dame moving off a screen with one player, that's probably going to get some good looks for Damian Lillard. So I think there's some things the Bucks could do to squeeze a few more minutes out of Ajax, even if the shot isn't falling and teams are sagging off of him. But, you know, we're talking a playoff game. Giannis is going to be out there for most of those minutes. So he could still see his minutes reduced quite a bit. I think that's got to be his goal for the rest of the season, is continue to shoot threes at a 36, 37%-ish clip and, you know, make yourself guardable that way. Or find more different things you can do, whether it's screening, cutting to the basket, passing, everything else, just to make sure you're not a total liability offensively. I'm not sure he is a total liability, but he clearly has some room for growth in that category, even mid-season here, I think.
Yeah, and if he could, man, would that be a huge boost for their offense as well? Just, you know, because he's such a great defender, does everything else well. If all of a sudden that shot starts falling a little bit more, look the heck out. He'll be even more of a value add than what he is right now. Going to be joined by Ty Windisch of the Eurostep podcast. All right, you can't just, it's impossible to talk NBA without always talking maybe about some trades and going over what, you know, could potentially be. It's always one of the most fun things to talk about in the sport. So as we look ahead to this Bucks before they get to the trade deadline, which is still a while away, obviously, but as you start looking ahead, what are some deals that you think could potentially put this Bucks team over the top and maybe get them across the finish line at the end of this year?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, we know second apron stuff, but what the Bucks can do is very limited. But that said, John Horst, Bucks GM, has shown a creativity that I think, you know, whether you like his moves or not, I think the creativity and what he's done consistently year after year to try and upgrade the Bucks and make them the best possible team is something that you can't deny. Like, I think they're always active and they always find a way to make a move. You know, the Dame trade is a great example. There's certainly others as well. I'm looking for backup centers. And I think Bobby Portis has played really well these last about 2 weeks. And I think, you know, maybe there's a less appetite to just move someone like Portis to move him from the fan base now. I don't know what the front office is thinking, but you could still use, you know, I think the term used by Jake Fisher was a rim runner, just a, you know, kind of a backup rim protector who's a little more athletic maybe than a Brook Lopez, which relatively low bar there. So I'm looking like Charlotte now has, I would say, three centers. They have Nick Richards, a backup who I've had my eye on for quite a while. They also have Diabate, who's really come on this year as like an offensive rebounding specialist, as well as their starter, Mark Williams. So, you know, generally I don't think teams want to hold three centers for the longest time, so maybe one of those players. Portland also has a glut of centers. You know, DeAndre Ayton makes way too much, but Robert Williams would be a really, you know, I'd say the biggest gamble option on the board right now for the Bucks, just because of his health. I mean, if you knew he was going to be healthy, that's a massive opportunity there, but, you know, you just don't with that player, so that's difficult. They also have Duop Arif, who a lot of people like as well. I also think there are just some free agents who are still on the board at this point who could be intriguing if you're looking for a backup point guard. You know, the Bucks don't have a roster spot right now. If they were to open one up with a trade or some other move, Dennis Smith Jr. is, you know, joining the Wisconsin herd, right? A defensive nose backup point guard that I think the Bucks seemed like they had with Ryan Rollins. He hasn't been able to play, and DeLon Wright kind of hasn't been able to do that ball handling role as much. So do you look to upgrade a spot that way? Also, Markel Fultz, who is a, you know, a plus-level defensive point guard, another player, maybe not the greatest shooter, but he's just out there. I don't know what is really going on with Fultz, but he's available. And then Lonnie Walker, who there's a lot of buzz about, is playing in Europe right now. He'll be back around the buyout season. Another player who, you know, if you opened up that roster spot, you could just go add him without giving up any assets. So maybe the Bucks go down that road because they don't have a whole lot of picks, but I do think they're going to be looking at, you know, always wing help, but I think centers and point guards make a lot of sense to me this deadline.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting to keep an eye on. You know, Horace is going to be aggressive, and I'm interested to see what he ultimately ends up adding for this team prior to the deadline. All right, last but not least, really quick before we get you out of here, Ty, Bucks, legitimate contenders, yes or no?
Yes, definitely. You got Giannis and Dame, you're going to have a shot. And I think their supporting cast is really good. Like, I really like this core of players around them. Their biggest question to me is health. You know, people will say defense, other things. I think if they're healthy with this group of players, I give them a shot to beat anyone in the league, including Boston. I think we saw relatively close games against the Celtics. So, yeah, I think definitely a contender.
I love it. Can't wait to see what they ultimately accomplish through the rest of the season. Hopefully we can get another epic playoff run. Hopefully they can stay healthy through the course of their playoff runs, which, as you're pointing out, has been an issue for them as of late. Ty, where can we find all of your incredible work, and what do you got coming out this week?
Yeah, we're going to have to do a Christmassy-themed episode after the back-to-back here. But you can find me on Twitter, as you mentioned, at Ty Windisch, and then our shows on wherever you listen to pods, Apple, Spotify, or YouTube, just Eurostep Podcast Network for all of our Bucks coverage. We just had a really fun one after the Cup win, so definitely check it out after you're done listening to all the great shows here, of course.
Hey, appreciate that a ton, Ty. You're the absolute best. We don't always talk a ton of Bucks, but hey, when you win a championship, you can't not talk some Milwaukee Bucks when you're on in Milwaukee. So it's always great having you on, chatting some Milwaukee Bucks. Again, find him on the Eurostep podcast. Find him on Twitter at Ty Windisch. We will be right back right after this with more Pack-A-Day Radio Show live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM The Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. We'll be right back.